Green Matters, opening your mind to your environment.
Zimbabwe, welcome to yet another edition of Green Matters. I do thank you for tuning in wherever you are tuning into this great station across this great nation of Zimbabwe. My name is Farai Mwakutuya, and it's a pleasure to have you along this Wednesday evening. Joining me in the studio tonight is the Chief Executive Officer of the Radiation Protection Authority of Zimbabwe, Mr. Reward Severa. A pleasure, sir, to have you on the program, and thank you for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you very much.
Okay, fantastic. We've previously had the Radiation Protection Authority of Zimbabwe on the program. They told us a bit about their brief and their mandate and what it is that they do. We'll allow you a bit later to just reiterate that and just refresh our memories. But the main reason you are here is because you've been doing quite a lot of traveling lately and presented a paper in Vienna, I believe, Austria. Could you tell us a bit about what that paper was on? And I do believe that Zimbabwe was the only country in Africa represented there, or that was presenting a paper.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, you are right. Zimbabwe was the only African country that presented a paper during the general conference. It was a special briefing session on a new strategic approach to establishing and sustaining regulatory infrastructures in member states. Zimbabwe was invited to share its experiences with the international community. I would say the progress that Zimbabwe has made over the past 5 years since the establishment of Radiation Protection Authority of Zimbabwe was recognized by the international community, and in this case, the International Atomic Energy Agency, as a case worthy sharing with others. They've been following our progress, and they do believe it is really in line with a search for a new strategic approach. In the past, they have assisted member states to set up regulatory authorities and infrastructure, but the results did not correspond to the resources that were being put in. Then in the case of Zimbabwe, the support that the international community was now putting in supporting us has not really been at the same level like in the past. But we have been able to set up a regulatory authority and have sustainable programs for radiation safety in the country. So they're really saying this is worthy emulating, this is worthy, I could say, copying and replicating in other countries.
What are some of the things that we've particularly done well?
Well, I think really for a start in the issue of ensuring that there's sustainability in regulatory infrastructures, the first and foremost thing that you need is the recognition and commitment by government to such an infrastructure, to such a program. So I think in the case of Zimbabwe, our government has been very supportive, very instrumental, and very much committed to radiation safety issues in Zimbabwe. For a start, I think one of the major tenets of regulating special radiation safety is the issue of effective independence of the regulator, where the regulator is not supposed to report through a government ministry or a department which is involved in promoting nuclear technology or using nuclear technology. So at the onset, the Radiation Protection Act of 2004 was under the Ministry of Health and Child Welfare, and government recognized this was not or ultra vires international standards on that area, where the ministry is one of the major users in the country. So the government then took measures, and in 2012, they reassigned the act from Ministry of Health to also the President Cabinet to ensure that effective independence. So that's something that can only be achieved if the government is really committed to radiation safety issues.
Okay. I like that point that you've just raised about moving that act. Independence, very important. In terms of Africa, clearly we're leading the light. Where did we, how did we, which model, if any, did we copy, or how did we be, how were we so able to do this or come up with this? Is there international best practice we followed, or it was just purely through our own experiences and our own unique set of circumstances?
All right. I think one thing that really motivated us, I think for a start, we're saying in terms of radiation safety issues, these are global issues that have got transboundary effects, and therefore we really have international standards that govern how these things are done. Because you cannot have country A doing what it is doing, whilst all other nations are then not reassured to say even the safety of their own citizens is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really need to do these things according to internationally agreed standards. So in the case of Zimbabwe, the issue is that we are really committed to setting up infrastructure that goes along the international standards requirements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we are working towards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If, man on the street would ask a radiation protection agency, how does that actually work for me? How does that benefit me? You've talked about the act being moved from the Ministry of Health and Child Welfare to the Office of the President Cabinet because there was a bit of a conflict of interest there. How does health and child welfare, for instance, contribute to radiation issues or
yes,
and things like that?
When it comes to use of radiation, I think we have radiation being used in almost every other area of our lives.
Uh-huh.
You look at in the medical sector,
uh-huh,
for instance, you're looking at radiotherapy for treating cancer, where you're using radiation to burn those cancerous cells, therefore treating someone from a tumor or from the cancer. And that method of radiotherapy, I think it is unequaled. It has no other competitor method.
Uh-huh.
Then you're looking at nuclear medicine, where it is also used for treatment,
uh-huh,
as well as for diagnostics, where you're actually diagnosing diseases using nuclear techniques.
Uh-huh.
And then you also then have the general of the radiology, either interventional or just diagnostic radiology. I think everyone knows the issue of X-rays.
Yeah.
One way or another, I think we all have had somebody that we know having to have an X-ray done.
Uh-huh.
Then we have your CT scans, mammography. These are all applications in the medical sector.
Uh-huh.
So we can then say, like in Zimbabwe,
uh-huh,
they actually constitute maybe about 40% or 50% of the users of radiation.
Uh-huh.
Outside the medical sector, we have applications in industry where when you're looking at automated processes, where you're saying a process is automated in industry, somebody can, by the press of a button, you control what is happening. They use radiation for those processes, either for level gauging or for flow rate measuring, if they're measuring flow rates. We have those in the beverage industry.
Uh-huh.
They're doing level gauging for their beverages. Line is automated, a liquid comes in, reaches the right level, and the radiation will trigger off the machine, new bottle comes in, so we don't have somebody lifting the bottle. Now that this is the right level, things will not be uniform. So it actually aids in bringing efficiency and standardization in production.
Uh-huh.
And then you have your in civil engineering, like for example, when people are making a new road and a new tar, they use moisture gauging.
Uh-huh.
In the past, they would use a destructive testing method.
Uh-huh.
You compact your road, and then somebody goes digging holes and picking soil to then burn or dry the soil and see what moisture was there.
Uh-huh.
But with radiation, you don't destruct the road. You simply put your machine, a moisture gauge, and measure the moisture without
having to destroy what you have done.
Yes.
You have talked, and we'll come back to that paper that you presented shortly, but you've obviously talked about Zimbabwe being a model in terms of how to implement or how to go about setting up regulatory frameworks. And you've just detailed some of the areas in which you are working and the areas you're regulating. But how effective have you been?
Thank you very much. I think for a start, looking at the operating environment that we have been in, I think the challenges of limited resources,
mm-hmm,
definitely the economy has not been doing very well. I think we have done exceedingly well, but of course we have had to use what we call risk-informed decision-making,
mm-hmm,
where at the end of the day, where you're supposed to do 10 things, but you have resources to do 6 of those things. you then have to use the risk-informed decision-making basis to choose which six things do you have to do out of the 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at those things where you can contain much of the risk that is there.
Mm-hmm.
So for a start, we have had to deal with the users themselves to make sure that they are licensed, and we carry out inspections to check for compliance, as well as to train the users to develop a safety culture. And in terms of the various areas that we're supposed to regulate, we've also classified this according to the risk levels that are there. So we're definitely really prioritizing the areas where you've got the highest risk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think from there, the next thing is also to really engage the public,
mm-hmm.
for the public to get to know about these issues, to get to be aware, and to get to be, so they become proactive in their own protection.
True.
So as we get more resources, we then moving to those other areas that we have really not been working on due to issues of resources.
In terms of dealing with the users, training them and things like that, what hurdles, if any, have you faced? You've obviously talked about resource challenges, which I think cuts across the entire economy. But in terms of dealing with these people, what are some of the challenges? Have you met resistance? Have you, what are some of the challenges that you have come across in your work?
Yeah, I would say resistance. Yes, we have definitely faced the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this is really the issue of a chicken-egg situation.
Mm.
In the ideal case, is the regulator who is on the scene first,
mm-hmm.
and then users start applying,
okay.
to get authorization to do or to use this technology.
Mm-hmm.
But in our scenario, like I just said, we set up in 2010. So definitely before that time, people were using radiation,
mm-hmm.
but the regulator was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come on the scene now, you're saying, yes, you have been using this technology, but the requirements are that you must be authorized, you have people trained in these things, you must have these requirements. There is that resistance to say, we have always done things this way and nobody used to ask. So you get that. And then also we're talking of the issue of safety culture.
Mm-hmm.
It is saying something that is developed, something mm-hmm. that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So because in terms of radiation safety, the issue of compliance, that's really the minimum that we require. But we actually require people to go the extra mile. So it's not only about compliance, but it's even going beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time to change that mindset and the mind frame of people and to get them to appreciate these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, as Zimbabwe, I would say, as a regulator, we also do need other service providers or technical service organizations that are really supposed to offer other supportive infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But because we don't have those in place as yet, it means as a regulator, we have also had to go out of our way to provide those other extra services, like training itself.
Mm-hmm.
As a regulator, mm-hmm. all we're supposed to ask is a training,
are you compliant?
Training certificate. Yeah. Show us
not actually
where
trained.
These people trained.
Mm.
So for now, we've had to be innovative,
mm-hmm.
to do those things to fill the gap.
Mm-hmm.
So you then realize that also gives us even challenges where we also have to split our resources to those what we call non-core regulatory responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Though they are still supportive responsibilities, but we have to discharge those as well.
Have there been any cases of players, users who have been caught offsides? And if so, what measures have been taken?
All right. Yes, indeed, we have had those cases. And as a regulator, one of our responsibilities is the issue of enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
We have to carry out enforcement actions. And these enforcement actions, they do vary. Again, on a risk-informed basis, where we're looking at the issues of either giving somebody a notice to fix certain things that aren't in place, and
mm-hmm.
give them a time frame to do that. We're also looking at the issue of either suspending their operations or their use of a particular machine until they have rectified what is going to be rectified. We are also looking at the issue of even revoking the authorization, taking away the authorization altogether. And then we're also even looking at issues of prosecuting people in court,
mm-hmm.
where we're saying they are not compliant and they are not cooperative, or the risks that are there are even very high. We have had And we've employed all these enforcement tools. We've had people that we've taken to court. We have had the courts pass judgments against those persons and companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, indeed, we have had quite a number of those.
Okay. Let's take a short break, Mr. Cervera. We'll come back. When I come back, I want to focus a bit more on the presentation you made, how it was received, and where to next from here, I suppose, because that may be the big question. The name of the show is Green Matters. My name is Farai Mwakutuya. My guest in the studio is from the Radiation Protection Authority of Zimbabwe, the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Reward Cervera. Green Matters will be back shortly, so please do stay with us.
Join me, Mark Pozza.
Alas Bunjira.
And me, Dirk Fillion.
For In the Zone, the only sports show on ZFM Stereo. Every Monday through to Friday from 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m.
For all the latest sports news, views, and previews. Not forgetting our competitions.
In the Zone,
6 to 6:30 p.m. every Monday to Friday on ZFM Stereo.
ZFM Stereo come alive in the nighttime. We spit freestyle, we don't have to write rhymes. We flow unrehearsed, we spit a killer verse. When it comes to other stereos, it might be the worst. Cause we just do what we do when we're in the room. How'd you know if that's the truth? Yo, we're living proof. Other FMs just got smacked, and they better think twice before they try to clap back.
Hi, I'm Yaya, and you're listening to ZFM Stereo. My station, your station, it's everybody's station.
Do you need information on markets and business tips on how to grow your business? If your answer to all these questions is yes, then be sure to join me, Farai Mwakutuya, every Thursday night between 7:30 and 8:30 p.m. when I bring you Enterprise Zimbabwe. It is a platform for small and medium businesses to engage, share ideas, inspire one another, and take our businesses to the next level. Enterprise Zimbabwe, only on ZFM Stereo.
Keep it locked on to ZFM Stereo. Music for the grown and sexy. The sweet and sassy.
Who's your daddy?
The fine and funky.
Got to love ya. Got to love ya.
The weird and wacky. We're the station that beats all the competition. And we'll prove it as soon as we have any competition. We burn down the house. ZFM Stereo.
You're plugged in to ZFM Stereo. Stereo. The people's station of choice.
Station of choice.
Give me love, 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 crazy love.
Easy.
Sharing the night together.
Green Matters with Farai on ZFM Stereo. Right. Where were we? Let's talk.
Welcome back to Green Matters with me, Farai Mwakutuya, my guest, the Chief Executive Officer of the Radiation Protection Authority of Zimbabwe, Mr. Reward Cervera. At the beginning of the program, we did mention that Zimbabwe was identified as a model case in Africa in terms of implementation of regulatory infrastructure and sustaining it. And as a result, we went to present this paper, the only African country, at the IAEA conference, I believe it is. How was that paper presented? I mean, obviously in Africa, we know we're doing well. When you presented it there at the international forum, what was the reaction?
The presentation by Zimbabwe was very much well received.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would say, the briefing session was really on coming up with a new strategic approach to establishing and sustaining regulatory infrastructures.
Uh-huh.
The National Atomic Energy Agency, I think it's from 1995 to 2004, 2005, thereabout, they poured about millions of dollars in member states to help establish regulatory infrastructures. However, when they look back, the results that came from those efforts, they do not tally to the resources that we put in.
Uh-huh.
So going forward now, we're saying they really don't have that much resources to commit to these areas, yet it is really a prerequisite for the use of nuclear technology, and they would really want member states to have these infrastructures. So they're now really looking forward to say, how then best can member states have regulatory infrastructures whilst they're also looking at the dwindling pocket, especially from the international community, to support such efforts. Hence the need for a new strategic approach. In the case of Zimbabwe, I would say really fitted those aspirations to say Zimbabwe having set up its regulatory infrastructures at a time when the country itself, Zimbabwe, was facing serious economic challenges, and then it manages to have regulatory authority. Like now we have a 35 men strong organization, and we did not really receive so much support from the national community like at the magnitude that it was being done in the past. So they really say this is a case which is worthy of the pursuit for a new strategic approach. Hence, if it can be replicated, then with efficiency and effectiveness, other countries can also be able to have regulatory infrastructures that meet international standards.
So where next from here? Do we expect to see other countries send delegations to Zimbabwe to study how we did it? Or do we expect to go out there and consult for other countries? What is the way forward from here?
Well, I should say that has already started. I think earlier this year, I think in May, thereabout, we had a delegation from Zambia, the Radiation Protection Board from Zambia, and their executive. They actually requested our government that they should come in and we should host them so they can interface with our board and share experiences so that they can learn how Zimbabwe has done it. Because I think for Zambia, they're just embarking on setting up their own regulatory authority. So they came in for that. We have also had a number of instances where officials from our authority have been engaged by the National Atomic Energy Agency on advisory missions. I think in 2012, we had an advisory mission in Lesotho to try and also support them in setting up the regulatory infrastructure. In July of this year, there was an advisory mission that we participated in Uganda, just as to advise and review what they're doing in the infrastructure. And then just, I think, this earlier this month, I participated in an integrated regulatory review service for Cameroon, where I would say from Africa, it was Zimbabwe that was there. There was someone from France, Honduras, Sweden, Hungary, and Luxembourg. And Zimbabwe was invited to go there and be part of the reviewers. So there really has been that much recognition. And we also have had to train. I think we've been training fellows from Malawi, two of them, one on a 4 month fellowship, other one on a 3 month fellowship, and they're just concluding that this week and another one next week. January next year, we'll be having another fellow from Lesotho, where the National Atomic Energy Agency pays for these fellows. And then they have approached us to say, Zimbabwe, we really like what you've done. Can you also train other people from the developing world so that they can also go and embark on setting up their own infrastructures?
Yes. When you look at countries that developing countries, like you said, particularly some of those that are still setting up or in the process of setting up, why do you think there's been a delay in setting up or they are behind? Is it perhaps that it's not top priority, or they just haven't known how to go about it? What has been the hold up there?
Well, I could say there's really a mix of cases. For one, we have some countries in the developing world that have recently, or that have just recently joined the International Atomic Energy Agency as member states of IAEA. So it's only when they join that they start embarking on the use of nuclear technology in their countries. Then we have other countries that have always been members of the International Atomic Energy Agency, but somehow they have just not gotten to setting up these infrastructures for radiation safety. Like I was saying, the issue of really chicken egg situation. I think until the government really prioritizes to say the issue of radiation safety, I think we, in certain instances, we have applications being done and then without the infrastructure in place. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that has happened, I think also on the international scene itself, we have heard there's been a reluctance from the suppliers of nuclear technology, nuclear material, radioactive sources, to supply these sources to countries where they know there is no regulatory oversight. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying, there's the issue of transboundary effects, and the global safety issues. To say, if you supply to country X, which doesn't have regulatory oversight, that material could be easily, stolen or falls in the wrong hands, mm-hmm. and that can cause mayhem, not in, only in that particular country or in any other country worldwide. Mm-hmm. So I think that is also, I could say, forced other countries that have been reluctant to set up these structures so that they're able to receive the technology from the suppliers.
That point that you've just read was actually going to be my last question, because we're out of time now, where clearly from what you've told us in the model that we have, as Zimbabweans, we are safe. We are certainly deemed to be safe because we are doing so well. But how are we then protected by this transboundary nature of these things, where maybe we are doing very well, but other countries around us or near us are not, and so we are still at risk? Is there a way to protect us in that way?
Well, I think, yes, on those issues, we have initiated quite a number of efforts in the region. To start with, in the SADC region, we have what you call the SADC Nuclear Regulators Network, where as regulators, we have come together and we are advocating to our governments so that we can develop and they can have a protocol radiation safety in the region, where each and every government, we are going to be operating at certain agreed standards or levels. At the level of Africa, we have a forum of nuclear regulatory bodies in Africa where we also work together. And the issue is that we are working towards harmonization of regulatory standards, so that at the end of the day, from country A to country B, the standards are all the same. Mm-hmm. So that you are really assured that people are safe even across boundaries.
Okay. Mr. Sevela, I must thank you for coming through. It's certainly been an informative and enlightening discussion. Thank you for coming through and joining us on this program.
Thank you very much.
And we wish you all the best going forward and that you keep up the good work that you are doing.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. That's been my guest tonight, Mr. Richard Reward Sewera, Chief Executive Officer of the Radiation Protection Authority of Zimbabwe. Certainly very informative there, and I hope that you found some value in it. Thank you for everyone who tuned in. Thank you for everyone who stays tuned in to ZFM Stereo. It's my station, your station. Keep it here for the rest of your evening's entertainment. That does it for this week's edition of Green Matters. Join me again next week for another edition of the program. Good night.